This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, Joe. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? It's Dan Day. Get at me at Dan Day Radio on social media, the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm working them, and one day maybe OnlyFans if there's demand for it, and I'll get back to you. Trust me, I'll get back to you. It might be at 2 o'clock in the morning when I get home from Duffy's Implantation, where I'm hosting trivia tonight, sitting on my front porch, drinking a cold beer, but I will get back to you. Seriously, I love the interaction. I am a social butterfly, not just on social media, but in real life. So, we'll be friends. I want to be your friend. Going to be friends with the Joe Rose Show in just a little bit, talking to ESPN's Jeff Darlington. They got some Tannehill and Tua talk. Greeny Show. NBA basketball, it's at its best right now in the playoffs. Andre Snelling's going to give us the rundown. Then Hawk and Crowder celebrating crossover day. Right now, let's celebrate some headlines. The Marlins lost their 10th out of 12 games last night, falling 4-3 to Colorado. They look to right the ship tonight against the Rockies at 7-10. Phoenix blew out Denver to take a 2-0 series lead, 123-98. Tonight it's Bucks-Nets at 7:30 with Brooklyn up 2-0. Then the Jazz, they take on the Clippers at 10 with Utah up 1-0 in that series. Utah's Rudy Gobert has been named Defensive Player of the Year for the third time in 4 years. The Dolphins have signed first-round pick Jalen Phillips to a 4-year, $14 million contract. The linebacker received a $7.5 million signing bonus. The Canes football team's ACC over-under is 6 wins. Miami opens conference play September 30th against Virginia. In the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, the Islanders ended the Bruins season, defeating them 6-2. Tonight, it's Las Vegas versus Colorado at 9 with the Golden Knights up 3-2. Next season, LeBron James will switch his number from 23 to 6, the same number he wore here in Miami. Anthony Davis will not revert to number 23, which he wore in New Orleans. He will keep his number 3. James is said to be switching numbers to promote his upcoming movie, Space Jam. And now, let's jam out and get into the day spa. A California man, after smoking meth and donning a red cape, was arrested for breaking into a home and being held at gunpoint by the homeowner. Meth, cape, breaking and entering. What was his worst decision of the bunch? A Virginia man has been arrested after threatening to kill everyone in a McDonald's restaurant after being told he could not have a Happy Meal. I mean, come on. If anyone needs a Happy Meal, it's that dude. A Canadian reveal party went awry after an explosive device was set off and sparked a wildfire. Just wait till the baby's born. A Swiss man has broken the world record by playing 252 holes of golf in 12 hours. How will he relax after breaking the record? I'm guessing hitting the links. A pregnant bride-to-be has been slammed online after joining Tinder for fun. My hot mess of the day. Joe Rose, He's not scared to mix it up in the mornings, weekdays from 6 to 10. Talking to ESPN's Jeff Darlington. They're checking in to see if Tannehill is happy. Aaron Rodgers, we know he's not happy. What is his next move? And of course, let's get into some Tua talk.
Is anybody happier right now than Ryan Tannehill getting another weapon? I know you've talked to him about getting Julio Jones. My God, on the other side with that guy with the 2,000 yards behind him and a guy that had 11 touchdowns on the other side, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's stoked. You know, they lost Corey Davis this offseason on the other side, who was, by the way, like, that guy was a stud. Like, he had five games with more than 100 yards, just under 1,000 yards receiving. But, yeah, when you get Julio, yes, he's stoked. I would say they also recognize the challenge of trying to pair two receivers together. Like, it's not as easy as you get, I mean, we've seen – how many times have we seen the paper roster where – it doesn't work out, you know. Even in Cleveland right now, they had Odell with Jarvis, and you think it's just going to be a perfect fit. It's just sometimes not that easy. So, yes, it's great for Ryan to kind of keep those AFC title hopes, I guess, championship hopes alive. But yeah, they still have a pretty tall task ahead of them, I think.
Jeff, if it works, Ryan, I said it before, and I can't believe it came out of my mouth after the whole Ryan Tannehill thing down here. My dark horse candidate for MVP, Ryan Tannehill. How about
that? I mean, I don't know. I love that. I don't know that he will ever get that recognition, which is weird because I think he deserves it. But, like, I think as long as Derrick Henry is there, and now, like, people are always going to be like, well, it's because he's got the cast around him. Which I think is a little bit of a cop-out. I mean, most great players have some pretty good players around them. Like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has Devontae Adams. Like, as much as we try to act right, like he's just screwed in Green Bay. But I mean, he's putting up the numbers. Like, and it's not inconsistent. And it's not just in the running game. Like, that offense, like, he's got one of the top passer ratings in the past, like, 5 years. I like it. I just don't know that he'll ever get that.
That's the same way Joe just poo-pooed on my parade also. He said, what about Derrick Henry? I'm like, okay, you win.
Guy was 2,000 yards and didn't win the MVP.
I
mean,
I always
get, you know, and everybody knows I'm a freaking Tannehill homer down here. Like, it's, you know, whatever.
Well, you're going out on that nice fishing boat. I would, too.
I do get a little bit, like, not annoyed, whatever. It is what it is. But, like, whenever you see, like, you know, they'll start doing all the pictures online, the NFL Instagram account or whatever, it's always, like, Derrick Henry.
Right.
And, like, Tannehill's never included on any of the promotional stuff. But, you know, I get that. Like, Derrick Henry's an absolute monster. And, you know, I think the question that Dolphins fans, if they're evaluating it, kind of the criticism is, like, all right, when's he going to do it in a big moment? And that remains to be seen. Like, that is definitely his next step. If he does that, if he can have, like, some really big moments, then I think that he vaults to a different level of maybe respect and potential MVP candidate.
I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, and I know you've been doing a lot of stuff on him. So is ESPN. So is every show. That's the story right now.
Non-stop.
Good reason, MVP, the whole thing. I got to tell you, I was kind of on his side when this thing started. Now I've had enough. Like, go friggin' back. Do you feel that way? Aaron.
I mean,
you don't have any weapons. You've been – every other position has had a guy drafted in their position. Calm the F down. And if you're going to play, you're getting well compensated if it's money. But don't just go out and hide and, you know, it's just getting old.
It's all annoying, for sure. I don't want to hold it against him. And I felt the same way about Dak Prescott. I don't necessarily want to hold it against Dak or him when they're going through these things, or even Russell Wilson, when part of the reason that you probably get tired of it is because every single day we're talking about it, you know, and I'm completely guilty of that. Like, when we're doing our production notes before any show, it's not what do you have on this? It's what do you want to say about Aaron Rodgers on TV today? You know what I mean? Like, I think we exhaust it a little bit, but at the same time, I get it. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't show up for training camp and it's not clear why, like, if it's not clear what his problem is at that point, then I think that the fatigue and the annoyance is merited. But for right now, I'm missing OTAs, whatever.
Yeah.
So the timeline right now, OTAs cost a veteran minicamp this past week cost him $93,000. That's a palatable fine for a franchise QB. Every day of training camp that he misses is mandated by the NFL. The new CBA to try to prevent holdouts says that They have to fine players $50,000 a day, and that cannot be forgivable. So, like, in the past, guys would hold out. They'd come back to camp, and the team would say, hey, just come back. We'll forgive those fines.
Right.
It's okay.
Wow.
You cannot do that now. So if he misses 10 practices, that's $500,000. You're starting to talk about real money. I mean, Joe didn't make $500,000 in his entire career.
Hey, a little follow-up on the Aaron Rodgers thing. I know you guys talk about it privately because we talk about it both ways, but we're just here in South Florida. When everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers and, you know, not knowing how this guy is, you know, in the back of everybody's mind, everybody's saying the same thing. The freaking guy didn't talk to his mom and dad and his brothers for years. Why the hell do we think he'd be loyal? How do you not talk to your mom, especially with the friggin' fires, burned everything around him? And his brother comes out and says, you're so worried about giving money to Paradise, California, why don't you check on mom?
So what I think we can learn from that without going too deep into the personal side of it, which I totally get, what I think we can take away from it responsibly is that this is a guy who is willing to hold firm on his beliefs and feelings to a degree that pretty much is the extreme, the ultimate extreme. Like not talking to your parents. Not talking, you know what I mean?
That's hard to do.
The ultimate. So if you're Brian Gutekunst, you're the GM of the Packers. I mean, look, if I was the GM, I would personally consider that. I would be thinking about that. At the same time, though, what I would say about that is, you know, what's good for Aaron is what's good for Aaron in some ways. Like, holding out might not ultimately be good for him, no matter what. I mean, it's going to cost him a ton of money, like $23 million, if he just decides he's not going to play for the Packers anymore. And it's going to potentially tarnish his legacy because he's coming off an MVP season, seemingly in the ultimate prime of his career. So it's not the same thing as just not talking to your parents when, you know, it's a little different. There's a lot on the line personally for him as well.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting thing about Aaron Rodgers. You think Aaron Rodgers, day one or game one this season, is playing for Green Bay? You think?
I do.
You do?
Okay. I think it's salvageable. What I think needs to happen is that the team needs to, this is based on conversations that I've had with people that talk to him, but not, it's also not coming from Aaron's mouth. I think that if they were to give him like the type of contract, and everybody says it's not about the contract, but in some ways it is, the type of contract that not only gives him some security this year, but also says, like, okay, if we do trade you, if we do unload you, your contract is going to be very solid wherever you end up. So I think that, like, you have to give him long-term stability, independent of the team. It's got to be long-term stability for Aaron wherever he ends up, not just in Green Bay, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. We got to bring him back down here to our guy, Tua, for just a second. I'm just curious. We talked yesterday about here in year two with the weapons and the offseason and all the stuff that he didn't have last year, he's going to have this year in offense, more for him and not for Ryan Fitzpatrick, all those things. I'm just curious, what kind of numbers would he need to put up for you where you go, the Miami Dolphins got their quarterback of the future?
One of the things I was saying on ESPN the other day is like that I realized that, like, I think this team is really set up to win. And this isn't just about Tua. This is about Flores, too. Both those guys are set up to win, and they should win. I mean, when you look at last year, you know, the record was pretty solid, but what was more impressive is the point differential. This is a team that was in it. You know, they were in all these games.
All of them.
And,
all of them. Yep.
And when you look at great teams, you look at two, three years out before they were great, like we're talking Super Bowl teams, even if they were losing, their point differential was close. And to me, that suggests that the Dolphins should be the sleeper team going into this season. Mm-hmm. But that's going to put more pressure on Flores. It's more pressure on Tua, but it's also more pressure on Flores. The expectations are rising internally, and you got to meet them. I mean, you went through with Gase his first year, remember?
Yep.
After that, hey, Tony Sperano, same thing.
Yep.
The late, great Tony Sperano. Those guys had good years, and then it fell off. You can't just have one year. You got to sustain it. You got to show that you got the potential. Now you got to make the most of it.
So we know about Tua, though, by this year? If I mean, he played nine games.
You got to. Yeah. I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
I think you need to know, but you know, it's funny because we have this, like, sliding scale. I think the Dolphins do need to know with Tua. Yes, let's just put it that way. You got to know. After 2 years – if he's going to get those reps, I feel like at the end of this season, you'll know whether you got your guy or not.
All right, so let me go to the box in the back of the room, the emergency box, break in case of emergency, the glass. Deshaun Watson in Houston, the situation going on with him, the not knowing about Tua maybe until the end of the season. But if Deshaun Watson becomes available once again to teams, whether it's the trade deadline, whether it's in the offseason, what do you think is going to end up happening there with him, especially with this team, if they're not 100% sold on Tua or another team, Carolina, Denver, whatever it's going to be, and the reports are now from a former teammate is he wants to play in Denver. What do you think of the Deshaun Watson saga right now is going to end up happening with him?
So I think if you were to say who the front runner is right now to be willing to acquire him, it'd be the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it's all going to be a matter of, like, if he settles these cases, it's really just a matter of what happens with his off-the-field situation.
Right.
If he can get through that to where a team even knows, like, okay, he's going to be suspended for 4 or 8 games, whatever it is, once there's some clarity, then I think that you see teams move. But he also has some say-so here. So if he gets through this and it's a 4-game suspension, and he knows that it's not that big of a deal, I don't know. I mean, it feels pretty big to me, but like if he can just have some clarity for a team, then maybe the compensation comes back up. But right now, without teams willing to give up that much to deal with this, I think it's probably in the best interest of the Texans to hold off until his value comes back up. When that happens, and when if a team like the Dolphins knows that, like, hey, Tua is maybe not our guy, which, by the way, they hope is not the case, then maybe it happened. But for now, right now, it does not feel like the timing is right for something like that to happen.
You know who screwed up all these things? The common denominator and everything we talk about? You know who screwed it up for everybody? Tom Brady and his head coach have screwed it up for everybody. Now we got
a jerk.
I mean, Tom goes, Tom calls all the shots. Matter of fact, we just turned the offense over to Tom. Matter of fact, we were doing the draft and we said, hey, Tom, I just want to give you a heads up. We're going to draft a quarterback in the second round.
By the way, is not even like the way it kind of goes down there. But what we are seeing is that Jason White, the GM, is like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take his advice. I'll take his thoughts on this. And then I don't know that that's that bad of a thing to do. Like, it feels like I would ask if I was the CEO of a company and I had this freaking awesome sales guy who's just killing it, I'd probably go to him and say, hey, we want to get more guys like you.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think we should get? I just don't think that's that bad of a thing to do. But if you're a GM somewhere else and you got a quarterback that's coming to you and you're like, dude, you didn't win 6 Super Bowls, it's a little different story. But I think the Bucs have put together a masterclass on how to treat a legendary quarterback. Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay, as annoying as Aaron can be at times, should probably do the same thing in Green Bay.
Jeff Darlington, he lives down here in South Florida, but he is nationally known on ESPN. It's easy to hear why. That is some good stuff, some good insight from the man. Speaking of the man, the Greeny Show, talking to the NBA playoffs man, Andre Snellings.
The biggest mismatch in the Bucks' favor in the regular season is that they could dominate the inside, and I didn't see a way that the Nets could counter that.
Tonight should be an interesting one, as it always is, in the NBA playoffs. We'll hear more right here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.560 The Joe, Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hola, it's Dan Day, one of my favorite punk bands right here. Three-piece female group now in Los Angeles, but originally from Atlanta, the Codangers would Follow Me. This is a song that made me fall in love with this band years ago. Oh, great female punk rock, just great punk rock in general. Always a great show with Greeny, even when he's not there. Right now, got a guy called Andre Snellings. He's giving us the lowdown on everything NBA playoffs, like the bad Bucks, the Clips, hopes, and did Denver give up?
I think that we probably were in the same boat here. I know that you were high on the Bucks coming into this series, and yet it has been ugly these first two games. It's remarkable that this has been the case. What's gone wrong from what you've seen?
You know, this is a game of matchups and adjustments, right? And so the biggest mismatch in the Bucks' favor in the regular season is that they could dominate the inside. And I didn't see a way that the Nets could counter that. What's happened in this series so far, I think, is that the Bucks have gotten a little bit off balance, and that's been enough because the Nets have just been balling out of control. So I think one of the biggest adjustments they need to make, if I were the coach, is one that isn't the biggest names. I think they need to move Bryn Forbes into the starting lineup instead of P.J. Tucker. That's because all year they were starting Dante DiVincenzo, their shooting guard, mm-hmm. and he got hurt in the first round. He's a dynamic player. He can shoot from the outside, but he can also create off the dribble, and he creates some spacing. And I think what's happened in these first couple games, at least on offense, is with Tucker in that starting lineup, they're too big. They have Tucker, Giannis, and Brook Lopez. They don't have enough creators, and it lets the Nets kind of sag. So I think they need to bring in Bryn Forbes, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, and also a guard who can handle the ball. Let him create some space so that Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday can do what they have to do.
Andre Middleton's the guy that I've been absolutely thrown off by. We see him hit a game winner in the first series, and the Bucks absolutely roll against the Heat. And yet in this series, he has been somewhat MIA. What's your take on Middleton? A pseudo disappearance to a degree in games 1 and 2.
Yeah, Middleton has to be better or this series ends essentially tonight. You know, it's a best of 7, but it's Nets in 3. If the Chris Middleton has been shooting like 6 for 21, I think is his average through the first two games. If that guy shows up, then the Nets are going back home and not having to play again till the next round. Middleton, people talk about Giannis and his supporting cast and how the Nets have all of these superstars. Middleton has maybe only been an all-star a couple of times, but that's the level he is now. That's never the level they need him to be. If he can be a 20-plus point-per-game scorer, a 50-40-90 guy, then, again, that opens things up for Giannis to be able to do what he does. And then with Drew Holiday, if he's also playing the level – the three of them together make a formidable core. You know, that they're a team that's got to be stronger than the sum of their parts. You can't just throw them out there and say, you know, play one-on-one against some of the best one-on-one players in the world. So yes, Chris Middleton has to produce in order for the team to have a hierarchy that even works against the Nets.
How important is it tonight for the Bucks to get off to a good start just based on their psyche from the first two games?
Yeah, I think it's important for them because in those first couple of games, one thing that I wasn't expecting, they showed a lot of nerves, you know, and maybe it's the pressure. They know that they've been expected to win a championship for a few years now and they haven't gotten there. But last series against Miami in game one, they looked really nervy and they weren't making any shots and they were still able to hustle out a win. And it seemed like after that, they settled down. And in games two through four, they just blew them off the court. Well, I felt like game one against the Nets was similar. They looked like the better team in the first half, but they were moving too fast. They were tipping shots when they should have been getting rebounds. They were missing easy looks. They were turning the ball over because they were hesitant. And then in game two, it was even worse. So I think they need a good start in game three just to get settled down and play to the level they can play. If they play to their level and they get beat, well, then, you know, you just clap hands. But if they play like they've been playing, then, you know, that just has to be embarrassing to them.
ESPN senior NBA writer Andre Snelling's joining us on the Goodyear Hotline here on Greeny. Chris Carlin in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Andre, other matchup tonight, game two, Clippers and the Jazz. Jazz took care of the Clippers in game one. A lot of people very high on the Clippers after their seven-game win in the series against the Mavericks. Your take on the Clippers here moving forward and Kawhi in this series against the Jazz. And also, are the Jazz just a team that probably feels like they're getting a little overlooked right now?
Yeah, you know, the Jazz have been juggernauts all season. You know, ESPN has a BPI is their team evaluation system. And the Jazz have been number one, alternating with the Nets, but number one on their own for probably months now. But no one really thinks about them in that way because they've never been to the mountaintop before. But they're a really strong team. Now, Mike Conley's injury is a question mark, and that may have been the Clippers' best chance to steal a game, game one, because Conley wasn't playing. I think he's questionable for tonight. With Conley, with the defensive player of the year, with, you know, Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz have a really balanced team. And the Clippers, yeah, they're going to need everything out of Kawhi Leonard and even more out of Paul George. You know, the other night he missed free throws while the crowd, I thought they were chanting playoffs P. I was told later they were chanting push-off P because of something that happened with him in the past. But either way, they need Paul George to play like Paul George. They can't have him out there, whatever he was, 4-for-18 or whatever the other night, and have a chance against a team as strong as the Jazz.
Last night, tough words from Mike Malone. Let's take a listen to what the Nuggets head coach said after his team lost game two, fell down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns.
I felt we quit tonight, which is something you never want to see. So I guess for game three, I'm just going to try to find guys that will at least go out there and leave it all on the line. I may have a hard time coming up with five guys that fill that, but these two games, these second halves have really been disappointing. And that's an understatement.
Andre, you hear the word quit. That's the toughest word in all of sports to me for an athlete to hear. Mike Malone, it seems like he better know his team if he's going to go that far going into a game three.
Yeah, I mean, clearly this is a tactic that he uses. It's a tactic that has the danger of being overused, right? Because in the first round against the Trailblazers, after Portland really, you know, stomped them out and was a game four, he played that same card, and the Nuggets came out in game five with a vengeance, and they were able to hold off Damian Lillard channeling his inner like Mike and still win that game and then finish it off in six. He tried it a little bit after game one against the Suns, and it didn't work, so it's like he doubled down coming back to Denver. I think ultimately, again, it's a game of matchups and adjustments. And so the Suns, I wrote an article for them, 2 months ago now, back in April,
yep,
on the Undefeated, saying don't sleep on the Suns because they are a really strong team, top to bottom. My biggest question mark coming into this series was Chris Paul's shoulder, and he's playing at a really high level. So that puts a lot of pressure on Denver. Jokic is the MVP for good reason. But the rest of their team against Portland, they were able to get off because Jokic was able to create the mismatch. He hasn't been able to do that against the Suns. and we're seeing the rest of the team not be able to produce. So, yes, they need to get hyped up. They also need to get their inexperienced guys going early in game three if they hope to be able to make this a series.
I wanted to ask you about that article in a second, but first up, just back to the initial thought here. Jokic said, I didn't quit last night. And then he also, Mike Malone, singled out Will Barton as a guy, hasn't played in 7 weeks, the only guy who showed up. Barton says after the game, I'm really compromised out there right now. It feels like while this card may have been successful for him before, the danger that's in there, it feels like that may be starting to come around. And if game three gets ugly, it could get uglier for Mike Malone. Is that an unfair statement at this point?
No, it's not. That's the risk. You know, that's the risk when you start challenging your team's, for want of a better way to put it, for challenging their manhood, for saying, are you going to man up and play, and making it seem as though that's in question. Now, that can light a fire, and if things go well, that fire can turn into a flame, and you can, you know, do some good things. If things continue to go bad, and now there's also some bad feeling out on the court, then that can also spiral. You know, either way, you can end up with a feedback loop.
Okay, so if you're in this position now with the Suns, you wrote about them analytically being a really, really strong team, and you know, people don't necessarily always think that analytically that's terribly cool. But what jumps out at them to you about the numbers that really shows how strong they are versus what the perception's been?
The Suns have excellent balance. So you talk about the numbers. They're one of the teams like the Jazz that's among the league leaders in both offensive and defensive efficiency. So that means that they're able to produce efficiently, and they're able to prevent their opponents from producing efficiently. That's a strong combo. The way that plays out practically on the court is that with Chris Paul running the show and Devin Booker as one of the best young scorer dynamic offensive players in the league, they're able to put an offense out there that's very difficult to stop because Booker can create on his own, whereas Paul is able to set up everyone else. And then they've got these glue guys, three and D guys like, you know, Crowder and Bridges that are able to play off of Chris Paul. And then you got DeAndre Ayton, who people forget was the number one overall pick the year that Luka and Trae Young came out. So he's an excellent prospect. He's averaged a double-double for his career, again, playing off Paul on offense. He seems like he's ready to take that next step to become kind of like a regular 2010 guy. So you put that group together, they don't really have much in the way of weaknesses. Again, if Paul is healthy. Last round, his shoulder was acting up, and you saw them have some chinks in the armor. But if Paul is able to, I mean, what's he averaging, like 20 and 13 or something in this series? Mm-hmm. If he's that Chris Paul, then they are going to be really hard to put out.
I don't think anybody in the NBA is giving up, and don't give up on Greeny weekdays from 10 to noon right here on 560 The Joe. Then from 2 to 6, my dude's Hawk and Crowder.
I went shopping online for Solana yesterday, and I'm like, ah, the hell with it. I logged off. I'm like, hey guys, someone's got to put an end to all these gifts flying back and forth.
What are y'all doing?
Sports, fun, and more from Hawk and Crowder on the way here on 560 The Joe. Radio Rewind. Stop the scene. 560 The Joe. Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hi, I'm Dan Day. In the background, one of my favorite bands, Silver Sun Pickups. Check them out if you like indie rock and like what you hear. And if you like Hawk and Crowder, you got to listen from 2 to 6. Earlier, they're talking about expensive jokes. It's crossover day. And Jay Crowder.
Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
I'm buttoning your shirt, Twan.
Got a little treat here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Because art god Savi, Marcos, who did that track, the Hawkman and Crowder theme song, Marcos is running the board for us today on 560. So Crowder and I kind of got a concert because he was bopping his head. He was doing his thing
hey,
through
Jim.
The window. Look at that. Yeah. He was having a good time
man.
In his own song. So
killed it.
We'll get to Marcos today. I can hear Solana's loud room, so he's obviously ready to roll. I went shopping online for Solana yesterday, and I'm like, ah, the hell with it. I logged off. I'm like, hey, guys, someone's got to put an end to all these gifts flying back and forth.
What are y'all doing? I've never been involved in a game
this. I'm like, what? I was looking to get you and your family, frozen apple pies so that you could actually make something. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just go on like Instacart and find the Publix near them and have some guy show up with like 15 pies from Publix.
Y'all's expensive jokes is something I can't get involved in. Y'all $100 jokes. I don't know.
Today is crossover day. Who's got the best crossover in the NBA?
Right now, Steph got hell of a high hand. Oh, no, Kyrie.
Kyrie can break anyone's ankles at any time. Is that right, Solana? Best crossover?
Yeah, it's between Kyrie and Isaiah Duncan Thomas. Robinson.
Yeah. But, I stepped on your joke. We both went for the joke.
Spider's swinging me over there.
Yeah, he does.
I was thinking earlier today, because I woke up and I had a few tweets saying that Brendan Tobin was ripping me on the Tobin and Leroy show for my Dwayne Wade Boulevard take, which, by the way, isn't my take. I asked a question, but whatever. I'll own it. No, it doesn't.
Wait for you to backtrack.
It doesn't matter to me.
You're backpedaling like D. Wade.
But I never said don't give him a Boulevard, but I said, I mean, do we really need to at this point?
Like you said, is right now a good time?
Right.
I think that was your point.
And you even said, had there not been this buildup from Tobin over, you know, a year, would they just out of the blue announce right now that we're going to name the Boulevard in front of FTX Arena? I'm very interested to see. The vote on the commission is Tuesday. I'm very interested to see how the voting goes.
Oh, yes. There's no nays in that.
You saw the text machine yesterday. There's plenty of people that do not want a Boulevard named for Utah Jazz owner Dwayne Wade. No, I'm just telling you.
He's on Utah for like 7 days.
I'm just telling you. He's not here. I can tell you that. Why is there so much ambient noise from his room?
I don't know what's going on at his house.
Like, do you have an air conditioner that's flowing?
I would imagine.
Open? Is the window open?
No, and I'm really trying. Like, I'm typing much more discreetly, and I'm really trying not to make noise. The fan is off, Hawk. I can't tell if you noticed, but
no, I noticed.
The room I'm in is close to the air conditioner, the main AC, but the door's closed. So I don't know if you hear me.
Is it a loud room? Is that known in your house as the loud room? Everybody has a house that's a loud room.
What?
You have a loud room? Is that your loud room?
What? No. I've never heard of a loud room.
You set up your studio in the loud room?
Come on, man.
Is that the room where you hear the air conditioner click on, you know, there's one room. You can't watch a serious movie in that room because it's too loud a room.
The loud room?
Have you cleaned your air filters?
You know what? That's not my house. I don't know.
I'm serious. That's when it starts to grind and, you know, it tries to suck the air through a very dirty filter, and then you get that noise.
Is Eduardo changing those filters?
Does he get up there on the ladder and change the filters?
No, Eduardo doesn't do anything mechanical or nothing in the house.
I don't know if that's mechanical. I change my air filters. I'm not mechanical.
You don't have to calibrate anything.
Slide out the little paper and slide another little paper.
Does Eduardo change the filter in the refrigerator?
No, my parents have a refrigerator from 1992, and I can guarantee the filter's never been changed. The water tastes great, though. No, our neighbor is an AC guy, so every month he comes to the house and he changes the filter himself every month.
Really?
Yeah.
It's some sort of plan? They're on a plan, or he just does
It's like a side business he and his son do.
Oh.
They do the filters for you, and they come to your house every month, or they can send it to you.
That actually makes sense, because a lot of people don't change their air conditioning filters.
Right.
A lot of people do not do it. I'm pretty diligent about that.
Oh,
it's one of the few things I can do, so that's why I'm diligent about it.
It takes 5 seconds.
Like, yeah. Well, I got to get up on a ladder.
It's tough.
You know, I
mean,
There's things to do. You got to make sure they're sized properly. Yeah, there's a lot to do. Anyway.
One time.
Today is crossover day. You've seen maybe on TV and in movies, they cross over. And so when I started getting tweets that Tobin was ripping me on the morning show, I had wanted to have Leroy come on anyway this week because I did want to talk to him. He was at that fight. And I also wanted to talk to him about Solana's injury and Solana still not being able to move because Leroy is a professional athlete as well. So I'd been wanting to talk to Leroy. We just haven't had time. And then I was like, okay, well, if Tobin's ripping me, I'm just curious what his whole take is on D-Wade. I'm wondering if Tobin is going to try to get an express lane made for Vinny Trocheck. You know, he's having a good postseason for someone else. So why, you know, why not? Maybe Mo Harkless gets a bridge or something. I don't know what Tobin's next plans are.
You kill Tobin about it?
I know.
Isn't that funny?
I just flip the script, man. So, and then, you know, their producer Robbie the Degenerate. I'd have that dude on every day of the week if he would come on. So, and then Jay Figg used to be on our show. She chose them, and so we'll bring her on. So it's all crossover show. For me, I think the most famous crossover was when the Harlem Globetrotters appeared on Gilligan's Island. Inexplicably, it was a deserted island, and somehow all the Globetrotters got there in their uniforms. And I don't know how they got off, and Gilligan's Island didn't. But I was like looking online. Did you know that Urkel from Family Matters once appeared on Full House?
No.
Yeah, and there's a picture of it. Did you know? You knew that, Solana?
Yeah. I love Family Matters. I love Steve Urkel, and I love Full House. Oh, I remember that episode.
So there's been a number of TV crossovers. This, I think, will be the most popular entertainment crossover in the history of entertainment when the Tobin and Leroy show crosses over into the Hockman and Crowder multiverse. So that's going to be sprinkled throughout the day. Tobin will join us this hour, Leroy next hour, Robbie and Jay Figg in the 4 o'clock hour, and we'll just move ahead in this crossover universe, multiverse. Let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana before we get too sidetracked on the crossovers. And then we'll start to have some fun.
Watching game two yesterday.
Yes, you are correct.
Bingo.
My dad asked me, Eduardo, he's like, that's the MVP on Los Nuggets? Ese Gordo? He was calling him Ese Gordo, the fat guy. And it is crazy, right, that the Nuggets have the MVP, but the Suns just look that much better. The final score, by the way, was 123-98.
I love Los Nuggets. That's funny to me. I'm going to translate the into Spanish, but I can't get near Nuggets, so Los Nuggets. That's funny to me.
Jay Crowder looking like Bay Crowder in the post-game show we had on the he had on the button down. He had it all open. The hamburger meat popping out. He's getting into
a
fight.
Yeah. He is a good looking dude.
Yeah.
Love his hair.
Much better looking than you, Crowder.
I don't know. Teeth are better for sure, but a raccoon's teeth are better than my teeth. But I don't know. Jay Crowder's ready to fight at all times. We
all
might
times.
Be related.
All times.
Yeah. He's just ready to
all
go.
All times. Heads on a swivel.
Worst decision last year getting rid of him. Worst decision.
Really, I mean, in hindsight, you understood why they did it, right? Because they wanted to have the salary cap free.
Yes.
But in hindsight, one of the worst decisions that they could have made.
Hurts me.
Yeah, the only thing is that, and I'm with you, I miss Jay Crowder, and how could you not watching him, right? But had the Heat signed him for 3 years and given him the money he wanted for 3 years, we would now be talking about how the Heat have no cap room to go out and sign anybody because we gave Jay Crowder three years.
Yeah, like right. It wasn't it, that 10 a year is nothing, man. That's not gonna hamstring you.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to remain flexible, and I just don't think he would have been enough. He probably wouldn't have been enough to get you past Milwaukee, anyways.
Someone brought that up on this show, and I think they were quoting. Were they quoting Pat Riley? It may have been Clay that said it on this show. You know, at some point, you have to stop being cap flexible and actually make a move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like every year, it's like, well, we can't do this because down the road, we might want to do that. And then next year, well, we can't do this. Down the road, you might want to do that. And then you get to the next year. Well, you don't want to do that because down the road, you know, at some point, you got to stop being cap flexible and make some moves. So,
Giannis for like 3 years,
and
right?
I did get it for the Jay Crowder situation because Giannis obviously, you obviously thought that there was a chance. I don't think they would have done it if they didn't think there was a chance. But you know, at some point, the whole thing of you've got to stay cap flexible, like okay, So, like, how many times do we stop kicking the can down the road before we actually try to score?
I think it was Clay that you asked him, do we have a chance with Mila Kunis?
Right, Mila Kunis.
Is that what her name?
Yeah.
Do I have a chance?
The Heat, me.
So, like, would you stay single the rest of your life waiting for Mila? Like, don't you call her sooner or later?
That's exactly. So, here it is. So, at age 23, I'm not going to get married because I want to keep my options open for Mila Kunis. 24. I might be in love, but you know what? Not going to pull the trigger. Mila Kunis. 25. Mila Kunis. You know, all of a sudden, I'm 51 years old. I'm bald. I've got man boobs. Yet, I'm holding out hope here. And in the meantime, I haven't found love.
Giannis Kunis.
Sometimes.
We're waiting for this. Giannis Kunis. We're never going to get him. Let's lock some people in.
I mean, we're not getting Giannis Kunis.
It's not going to work.
Like Jay Crowder told Miami a couple of months ago, I'm getting out of here. See you later. But no worries. Unlike Jay Crowder, I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, for a feel-good Friday edition of 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Later, slug. Stop the scene. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hi, I'm Dan Day. In the background, one of my favorite bands, Silver Sun Pickups. Check them out if you like indie rock and like what you hear. And if you like Hawk and Crowder, you got to listen from 2 to 6. Earlier, they're talking about expensive jokes. It's crossover day. And Jay Crowder.
Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
I'm buttoning your shirt, Twan.
Bad Bunny, da da ya, ya ya ya, da 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 da.
Got a little treat here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Because Art God Savvy, Marcos, who did that track, the Hockman and Crowder theme song, Marcos is running the board for us today on 560. So Crowder and I kind of got a concert because he was bopping his head. He was doing his thing through the window. Look at that. Yeah. He was having a good time in his own song. So we'll get to Marcos today. I can hear Solana's loud room, so he's obviously ready to roll. I went shopping online for Solana yesterday, and I'm like, the hell with it. I logged off. I'm like, someone's got to put an end to all these gifts flying back and forth.
What are y'all doing? I've never been involved in a game
I'm like, what? I was looking to get you guys, you and your family, frozen apple pies so that you could actually bake something. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just go on like Instacart and find the Publix near them and have some guy show up with like 15 pies from Publix.
Y'all's expensive jokes is something I can't get involved in. Y'all $100 jokes. I don't know.
Today is crossover day. Who's got the best crossover in the NBA?
Right now, Steph got hell of a high hand. Oh, no, Kyrie.
Kyrie. Kyrie can break anyone's ankles at any time. Is that right, Solana? Best crossover?
Yeah, it's between Kyrie and Duncan Robinson.
I stepped on your joke. We both went for the joke.
Spider's swinging me over there.
Yeah, he does.
I was thinking earlier today, because I woke up and I had a few tweets saying that Brendan Tobin was ripping me on the Tobin and Leroy show for my Dwayne Wade Boulevard take, which, by the way, isn't my take. I asked a question, but whatever. I'll own it. No, it doesn't.
Wait for you to backtrack.
It doesn't matter to me.
You're backpedaling like D. Wade.
But I never said don't give him a Boulevard, but I said, I mean, do we really need to at this point?
Like you said, is right now a good time?
Right.
I think that was your point.
And you even said, had there not been this buildup from Tobin over, a year, would they just out of the blue announce right now that we're going to name the Boulevard in front of FTX Arena? I'm very interested to see. The vote on the commission is Tuesday. I'm very interested to see how the voting goes.
Oh, yes. There's no nays in
you
that.
Saw the text machine yesterday. There's plenty of people that do not want a Boulevard named for Utah Jazz owner Dwayne Wade. No, I'm just telling you.
He's on Utah for like 7 days.
I'm just telling you. He's not here. I can tell you that. Why is there so much ambient noise from his room?
I don't know what's going on at his house.
Like, do you have an air conditioner that's flowing? Like,
I would imagine.
Is the window open?
No, and I'm really trying. Like, I'm typing much more discreetly, and I'm really trying not to make noise. The fan is off, Hawk. I can't tell if you noticed, but
no, I noticed.
The room I'm in is close to the air conditioner, the main AC, but the door's closed. So I don't know if you hear
is it
me.
Just
maybe
a,
just
is,
like,
it a, is it a loud room? Is that known in your house as the loud room? Everybody has a house that's a loud room.
What?
You have a loud room? Is that your loud
no.
room?
What? No. I've never
studio,
heard of a loud
you set up
room.
Your studio in the loud room?
Come on, no. Man.
Is that the room no where you room. Hear the air conditioner click on, you know, there's one room. Can't watch a serious movie in that room because it's too loud a room.
The loud room.
Have you cleaned your air filters?
You know what? That's
this is not my house. I don't know.
I'm serious. That's when it starts to grind and you know it tries to suck the air through a very dirty filter and then you get that noise.
Is Eduardo is he changing those filters?
Does he get up there on the ladder and change the filters?
No, Eduardo doesn't do anything mechanical or nothing in the house.
I don't know if that's mechanical. I change my air filters. I'm not mechanical.
There's nothing. You don't have to. No home repair. No home repair.
Anything.
Slide out the little paper and slide another little paper.
Does Eduardo change the filter in the refrigerator?
No, my parents have a refrigerator from 1992, and I can guarantee the filter's never been changed. The water tastes great, though. No, our neighbor is an AC guy, so every month he comes to the house and he changes the filter himself every month.
Really?
Yeah.
It's some sort of plan? They're on a plan, or he just does it?
Yeah, no,
it's like a
side business he and his son do.
Oh.
They do the filters for you, and they come to your house every month.
That makes sense. Makes sense because a lot of people don't change their air conditioning filters.
Right.
A lot of people do not do it. I'm pretty diligent about that.
Oh,
it's one of the few things I can do, so that's why I'm diligent about it.
It takes 5 seconds. Like,
yeah. Well, I got to get up on a ladder.
It's tough.
You know, I mean,
it's
there's
tough,
things,
though.
There's things
it is
to
tough.
Do. There's things to do. You got to make sure they're sized properly. Yeah, there's a lot to do. Anyway.
One time.
Today is crossover day. You've seen maybe on TV and in movies, shows or movies, they cross over. And so when I started getting tweets that Tobin was ripping me on the morning show, I had wanted to have Leroy come on anyway this week because I did want to talk to him. He was at that fight. And I also wanted to talk to him about Solana's injury and Solana still not being able to move because Leroy is a professional athlete as well. So I'd been wanting to talk to Leroy. We just haven't had time. And then I was like, okay, well, if Tobin's ripping me, I'm just curious what his whole take is on D-Wade. I'm wondering if Tobin is going to try to get an express lane made for Vinny Trocheck. You know, he's having a good postseason for someone else. So why not? Maybe Mo Harkless gets a bridge or something. I don't know what Tobin's next plans are.
Kill Tobin about it?
I know.
Isn't that funny?
Just flip the script, man. So, and then, you know, their producer, Robbie the Degenerate, I'd have that dude on every day of the week if he would come on. So, and then Jay Figg used to be on our show. She chose them. And so we'll bring her on. So it's all crossover show. For me, I think the most famous crossover was when the Harlem Globetrotters appeared on Gilligan's Island. Inexplicably. It was a deserted island, and somehow all the Globetrotters got there in their uniforms. And I don't know how they got off and Gilligan's Island didn't. But I was like looking online. Did you know that Urkel from Family Matters once appeared on Full House?
No.
Yeah, and there's a picture of it. Did you know? You knew that, Solana?
Yeah. Yeah, I love Family Matters. I love Steve Urkel, and I love Full House. I remember that episode.
So there's been a number of TV crossovers. This, I think, will be the most popular entertainment crossover in the history of entertainment when the Tobin and Leroy show crosses over into the Hawkman and Crowder multiverse. So that's going to be sprinkled throughout the day. Tobin will join us this hour, Leroy next hour, Robbie and Jay Figg in the 4 o'clock hour, and we'll just move ahead in this crossover universe, multiverse. Let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana before we get too sidetracked on the crossovers. And then we'll start to have some fun.
Watching game two yesterday.
Yes, you are correct.
Bingo.
My dad asked me, Eduardo, he's like, that's the MVP on Los Nuggets? Ese Gordo? He was calling him Ese Gordo, the fat guy. And It is crazy, right, that the Nuggets have the MVP, but the Suns just look that much better. The final score, by the way, was 123-98.
I love Los Nuggets. That's funny to me. I'm going to translate the into Spanish, but I can't get near Nuggets, so Los Nuggets. That's funny to me.
Jay Crowder looking like Bay Crowder in the post-game show we had on the he had on the button down. He had it all open. The hamburger meat popping out. He's getting into
dude.
A fight.
Yeah. He is a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
his
much
hair.
Better, much better looking than you, Crowder.
I don't know. Teeth are better for sure, but a raccoon's teeth are better than my teeth. But I don't know. Jay Crowder's ready to fight at all times. We might be related.
All times.
Yeah, yeah. He's just ready to
all
go.
All times. Heads on a swivel.
Worst decision last year getting rid of him. Worst decision.
Really, I mean, in hindsight, you understood why they did it, right? Because they wanted to have the salary cap free.
Yes.
But in hindsight, one of the worst decisions that they could have made.
Hurts me.
Yeah, the only thing is that, and I'm with you, I miss Jay Crowder, and how could you not watching him, right? But had the Heat signed him for 3 years and given him the money he wanted for 3 years, we would now be talking about how the Heat have no cap room to go out and sign anybody because we gave Jay Crowder
ten years, nothing, man. That's not gonna hamstring you.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to remain flexible, and I just don't think he would have been enough. He probably wouldn't have been enough to get you past Milwaukee, anyways.
Someone brought that up on this show, and I think they were quoting. Were they quoting Pat Riley? Someone, it may have been Clay that said it on this show. You know, at some point, you have to stop being cap flexible and actually make a move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like every year, it's like, well, we can't do this because down the road, we might want to do that. And then next year, well, we can't do this. Down the road, you might want to do that. And then you get to the next year. Well, you don't want to do that because down the road, you know, at some point, you got to stop being cap flexible and make some moves. So,
Giannis for like 3 years,
and
right?
I did get it for the Jay Crowder situation because Giannis obviously you obviously thought that there was a chance. I don't think they would have done it if they didn't think there was a chance, but you know, at some point, the whole thing of you've got to stay cap flexible, like, okay, so like, how many times do we stop kicking the can down the road before we actually try to score?
I think it was Clay that you asked him, do we have a chance with Mila Kunis,
right? Mila Kunis,
is that what her name?
Yeah. I said, do I have a chance? Not the Heat, me.
So, like, would you stay single the rest of your life waiting for Mila? Like, well, don't you call her sooner or later?
That's exactly. So, here it is. So, at age 23, I'm not going to get married because I want to keep my options open for Mila Kunis. 24, I might be in love, but you know what? Not going to pull the trigger. Mila Kunis. 25, Mila Kunis. You know. All of a sudden, I'm 51 years old, I'm bald, I've got man boobs, yet I'm holding out hope here, and in the meantime, I haven't found love.
Giannis Kunis.
Sometimes.
We're waiting for this. Giannis Kunis. We're never going to get him. Let's lock some people in.
I mean, we're not getting Giannis Kunis.
It's just not going to work.
Like Jay Crowder told Miami a couple of months ago, I'm getting out of here, see you later. But no worries. Unlike Jay Crowder, I'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, for a Feel Good Friday edition of 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.